Good afternoon. It's a great pleasure to be with you here today for this symposium on the role of agroforestry in global agriculture, even if only virtually from my perch here at the World Agroforestry Center in Nairobi, Kenya. And it's quite an honor to be billed on the same program as my good friends, Sheba Jose and P.K. Nair, who have been such tremendous leaders in the field of agroforestry for so many years. I also owe a deep debt of gratitude to Gregory Ormsby of the Agroforestry Center at the University of Missouri, who organized this symposium and who has been a great help in arranging for me to participate via this video when it became impossible for me to make it to Tampa this week from Africa. Now, the basic plan of the Paris Climate Change Agreement is for the world to achieve greenhouse gas emissions neutrality on a global basis by the year 2050, mid-century. This will set the stage for keeping global temperatures to less than 2 degrees increases that would be so damaging to everyone, but particularly bad for the poorest people in the world who are projected to suffer the most and who are yet the least responsible for creating the climate change crisis. Greenhouse gas emissions neutrality is a very hard goal to achieve, requiring a massive switch in the global economy from fossil fuels to renewable energy sources, particularly for power generation and transport. Now, when it comes to agriculture, four major models similarly estimate that the total global emissions from agriculture are the following. From livestock production, 1.1 billion tons of carbon dioxide equivalents by enteric fermentation, and from N2 emissions from manure. For crop production systems, the estimate is about 0.7 billion tons of CO2 equivalent, which covers N2O emissions, as well as carbon dioxide from changes in soil organic carbon content. And in rice production, about 0.3 billion tons of carbon dioxide equivalent from methane emissions, the total of which is about 2.1 billion tons of CO2 equivalent per year, which means that agriculture is about 12% of total annual global emissions. I want to address two very important questions with you today. Can agriculture possibly achieve emissions neutrality by 2050? And could agroforestry be the key to doing so? But first, on the question of whether it is indeed feasible for agriculture to achieve GHG emissions neutrality, most observers currently think this is highly unlikely. For one thing, ruminant livestock production is increasing rapidly, and it is expected to double by the year 2050. More livestock, more methane, more emissions. Second, crop production, including rice production, is also increasing, as it must in order to increase food production to feed a doubling population. And cropland is also continuing to lose carbon. The aggregate fertilizer use is also expected to increase as well. Yes, there are some new technologies being developed to reduce the flatulence of livestock, reduce rice crop emissions from methane, and increase the efficiency of nitrogen fertilizer use to reduce nitrous oxide emissions. But the prospects for these technologies are modest at best. While meanwhile, the sheer increases in emissions from increased livestock numbers and greater crop production are expected to swamp these modest improvements. And thus, we may expect a further increase in agricultural emissions, not a decrease, unfortunately. So the big picture of reducing emissions in agriculture is not an encouraging one, to say the least. And without such improvements, the percentage of agricultural emissions is projected to continue to climb further, while fossil fuel emissions will decline until by 2050, agricultural emissions could be fully 70% of total global emissions from the current level of 12%. This is a dire prospect, and undoubtedly it will put enormous pressure on agriculture to do much better. So agriculture is not, in the aggregate, going to be a real part of the solution of emissions neutrality. Or is it? This is where a paper that was published last year by Bob Zomer and colleagues in Nature Climate Change comes in. Bob did a global analysis of the change in tree cover and carbon accumulation in the world's agricultural lands during the decade from 2000 to 2010. It is entitled Global Tree Cover and Biomass Carbon on Agricultural Land, the Contribution of Agroforestry to Global and National Carbon Budgets. I would encourage you to Google it and have a read. For the purposes of this analysis, agroforestry was defined as trees in agricultural landscapes. This definition and the analysis thus examined the tree cover on all agricultural lands in the world in all types of agroforestry systems, from lands where trees are directly incorporated into crop fields, as shown here, to lands where trees were found in the agricultural landscape outside of crop fields, trees outside of forests but in crop lands, field boundaries, homestead areas, etc. The remotely sensed estimates of these this started with the location of all agricultural land in the world. It removed all forest lands from the analysis and focused only on the 2 billion or so hectares of agricultural lands. Bob used the GLC data sets to isolate agricultural lands at a 1 kilometer resolution, and for the tree cover percentages, he used the well-known DCF data set of Hansen et al., which were MODIS data sets with a 500 meter resolution. For example, here is an image for an intensively farmed location in Kenya. This is a 1 square kilometer area that is classified as agricultural. It has about 10% tree cover with a population density of about 400 farming population per square kilometer. Now, it has, as I said, about 10% tree cover on these agricultural lands. Now, these are the global map products that he produced and did observations that corresponded to an entire global analysis. For the tree cover percentages, he mapped the tree cover on agricultural lands ranging from 0 to over 80% tree cover. The map for the year 2000 is at the top, and the map for 2010 is at the bottom. So what he did discover from this comprehensive global analysis is the following. First, he found that more than 43% of the world's agricultural land now has greater than 10% tree cover. That is, almost half of the agricultural lands in the world have greater than 10% tree cover. And you know, FAO actually defines forest lands as land greater than 1 hectare in size with more than 10% trees. This is an enormous area of tree cover, but it is all outside of the global land area that is classified as forest land. Second, he found that during the decade from 2000 to 2010, there was an enormous increase in tree cover on agricultural lands globally, which amounted to about 2% total. They found that the highest tree cover density on agricultural land was in the humid regions, such as Southeast Asia, Eastern South America, Central and Coastal West Africa. And in these regions, agricultural tree cover exceeded 45% of the land area. And that tree cover is now 10 to 30% in South Asia, subhuman Africa, Central and Western Europe, Amazonian South America, and Midwestern North America. Then, when he moved on to examine the changes in carbon on agricultural land as a result of these increases in tree cover, what he found was pretty startling. The team observed that the amount of carbon storage on agricultural land was currently 45.3 billion tons of carbon, with trees contributing over 75% of this amount of carbon to the global total. The remainder was biomass carbon estimated to be contributed by crop production. Indeed, more than one-third of the world's agricultural land now has greater than 75 tons of carbon per hectare, and a quarter of agricultural land has more than 100 tons of carbon per hectare on agricultural land. This is predominantly from the trees that farmers are growing in agricultural farmland areas. Now, this led to a major observation. There is now nine times more total carbon stocks on agricultural land compared to the current IPCC estimates of the Climate Change Convention. The IPCC has actually massively underestimated the amount of carbon stocks on agricultural land, because up until now they have used a default assumption that there are no trees on agricultural lands. But actually, there are, in fact, enormous numbers of them. But there's actually much more to the story. During the 2000 to 2010 decade, there was an increase of over 7.3 billion tons of carbon dioxide equivalent of biomass carbon with trees on agricultural land, or a 4.6 increase in biomass carbon globally. Now, this is pretty good news, because agricultural land is therefore seen as overall gaining in carbon, although the absence of this data had most estimations indicating that aggregate carbon on agricultural land was declining. So this is a reversal of the expectations. But it is known that agricultural soils in the aggregate are gradually losing carbon due to organic matter loss. Now, let's look at the picture of carbon stocks and increases at the regional and national level around the world. Carbon stocks and stock increases in agriculture are observed to be the highest in Southeast Asia. Indonesia's biomass carbon stock on agricultural land is now 5.5 billion tons of CO2 equivalent, and it's increasing by more than 9% per decade. And those are the results for Indonesia.